This is John Little from DFW's only all-news morning show, the KRLV Morning News. Keep listening. We'll tell you the top three things you need to know every 15 minutes.
And you can count on us for any severe weather information, breaking news, or traffic red alerts immediately when they happen.
Now, the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Here we go. It's the Mid-Morning Mic Check. Tuesday, August 4th. Mike Rogers, Austin York, and you, as always, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us a text. Give us a call at 945-766-1080. Go to the Odyssey app. Leave a voice message for us.
Yeah, that sounds the best. If you want your voice nice, crisp, and clear, go to that.
Exactly. Anything you want to talk about, because we get a lot of ground to cover today. Quite a bit on this National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
That's all good. Right. Are you a big chocolate chip cookie guy? Are you a sweets guy?
I won't say no to a chocolate chip cookie, but there are other kinds I like more.
Yeah, I don't eat sweets a lot. I know, I've told you.
You're lucky. You don't have that sweet tooth.
I get the junk food. That'll get me every time. But if you're talking sweets, I tend to go the other direction.
Well, I don't know who did it, but someone brought in a box of chocolate chip cookies.
I'll tell you why.
Right now.
It was Steve's birthday yesterday.
Oh, Pickering?
Pickering, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Birthday cookies. Yeah, saying the boss made us sing happy birthday. It kind of felt like Office Space. I don't know if Steve was really, okay.
I'm glad that was after I left.
Yeah, you left. Yeah, okay. I noticed that.
This is also National Night Out, except in Texas. We do it in October because it's too hot in August.
That's right. We're not sitting outside and what?
You sit out on your 100 porch
degrees.
And watch for bad guys.
No, do whatever you got to do. I'm going in the AC.
Exactly.
You might as well be the Purge out there.
Knock yourself out. Yeah. We'll check back with you in October. Today, we're really going to do a lot of things, including this MySpace thing. They're talking about bringing MySpace back. My question is why?
Did you ever have a MySpace?
I did.
So did I.
I did, you know, before Facebook got big. Briefly, I had a MySpace. I don't think I did anything on it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you the password for $1 million.
I don't even know if I still have an account somewhere, but that's the first time that I found all the people from high school.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, I haven't seen these guys in almost 10 years or whatever it was. And that's how I befriended all of them.
Thought that
then I went
to
Facebook.
The coolest thing in the world.
Oh, I know. I was like, wow, this is crazy. We can connect with these people.
Now social media is the bane of modern society.
Yeah, and that was the first one. Everyone was a friend with Tom.
So we'll get into that a little bit, because they never went out of business. They kind of went away, but they never went out of business. They're still around. And
they got sold, I think, a couple of times.
Planning a big comeback.
All right, let's see what happens.
So President Trump, he's issued another ultimatum to Iran. It's not the first one. But at the same time, but this is going on, I saw this yesterday, thought this was kind of interesting. He's also picking a fight with America's biggest oil companies, which are reporting some massive profits in the second quarter. As the war continued and price of oil skyrocketed, Exxon alone made $14.5 billion.
That's a pretty good quarter.
Chevron made $12 billion. Just those two companies, $26.5 billion in profit in just 3 months.
Good time to be in the oil business.
And now, while you'd think a pro-business president like Donald Trump would be just fine with that, even he says, that's a little much.
They're making too much money, okay? Based on a shortage, they're making too much money. I don't like it. And I should be the last one to say, because I'm a big free enterprise guy. Nobody bigger. And, you know, you're going to see oil when we're finished with Iran. You're going to see the prices drop through the floor. But they made too much money. Too much money. Chevron, too much money. ExxonMobil, too much money. When you look at one company where they made 12 times what they made the year before, they ought to give some of that back to the public, and they better cut the retail price, the consumer price. Too much money. You're surprised I'm saying it? I'll say it loud and clear. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're writing a big check right now.
Got to
give
go.
That money back.
Mike Rogers, Austin York, here you go.
Yeah, nope. That is ain't going to happen. Price of oil right now, by the way, is down $3.50 a barrel. That's West Texas Intermediate.
So what is that, 84?
77.
77, all right.
77 Brent crude is down $3. That's about 80 and a half. So maybe those huge profits won't be quite so huge during the third quarter.
It was $3.70 a gallon at the place I went to. That was just the basic.
Gasoline still up there. Now, Big Oil's response to this?
An industry trade group is firing back, insisting those higher prices are driven by global supply and uncertainty around the Strait of Hormuz, and not by any one one company.
And of course, they always they say that always. Yeah. Oh, well, you can't.
But
it's not
global,
our fault.
It is a lot of it is global markets, and I don't understand how you can just say, okay, well, now you need to. Okay, let's say Chevron decided to do it. Yeah, we're going to lower our price. Yeah, they might have more production, but they'd make a lot less. Everyone else would keep their price the same.
Shareholders
wouldn't
be happy.
Yeah, exactly. Why would you do that?
That's. I mean, in a way, they're right. Just because, you know, oil prices go up or down because of things that are out of your control and you make money off it, well, you know, it's you're not going to say no to that money.
No, absolutely. And nor should you. You have to. But, I mean, it is your company. And like you said, mm-hmm. shareholders that you have to make happy and so on.
Now, the president is also making news with his reaction to his handpicked U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. That's former Fox News host Judge Jeanine Pirro. Surprising a lot of people last week by dropping the case against the man, a guy named David Hearn. He was accused
Olympian.
By the former Olympic canoeist.
Canoeist. I didn't know they had such a
That's
thing,
right.
but they do. Apparently, he was pretty good.
He was accused by the White House of vandalizing the newly refurbished reflecting pool on the National Mall. They accused him of going after that blue liner with a box cutter. And Pirro herself was completely on board with that narrative.
We will prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Hearn willfully destroyed property at the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool.
But now, Pirro has suddenly dropped the case against Hearn, saying that, no, in fact, the damage to the pool was the result of a botched installation and not vandalism. Now, there are reports that after doing that, she got a call from the president, and he gave her an earful, and he is still not happy. Listen to this.
I was disappointed with Jeanine Pirro, really disappointed with Jeanine Pirro. She folded like an umbrella. We have photographs or tapes where people are on the side cutting it with a box knife. It looked beautiful. And then they cut it, and they vandalized. And we weren't necessarily thrilled with the contractor, but they did a job, and they were fixing any problems. But then it got carried away because the judge was extremely unfriendly to Jeanine. And frankly, I think she choked. Instead of going after the people that did it, the judge went after her and went after her department. And I guess she choked. I don't know what the hell happened.
You know, when the boss accuses you of choking and folding like an umbrella, that's not generally a good thing.
All right. The over-under is how long does she stay in that position?
Exactly.
The rest of the week? One more
exactly.
week?
Exactly. But he's like, you know, once again, he's like a dog with a bone. This is like the 2020 election. He won't let it go. His own hand-picked U.S. attorney says,
that's the thing. If there is,
there's nothing here.
If there is some evidence, then put it out there. But apparently there wasn't enough.
Clearly. According to Hearn's lawyer, Joshua Cole, Pirro did the only thing she could do.
They finally had to face facts and face the reality that their entire case was crumbling before them. And so this is the only natural and logical next step, regardless of how highly unusual it is for this to happen.
Now, he said, Hearn said that he had just stuck his hand in the water. He saw a piece of the blue lining floating, and he was kind of pulling it out to check it out, see what it was. And someone saw him, and then that apparently that is all there was to it.
Maybe he's a canoeist thought, I wonder how deep this is.
Exactly.
I can get in here and start canoeing.
Bring my canoe in.
That's right.
All right, we take a break now, the mid-morning mic check here on KRLD. And when we come back, we're going out to Oxnard. Pads, they're in pads now.
That's right.
It's the next stage of training camp.
It's hit time.
Well, it's hitting time, and you know who's doing some hitting is the defense.
Yeah, like to hear that.
How about that? Brian Broaddus is coming up next on KRLD. Stay with us.
A deep dive into the day's top stories, weekdays from 10 to noon. This is the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's almost 90 degrees here already in North Texas. You're headed for a high in the low 100s today. Out in Oxnard, California, on the other hand.
When he said this temperature, I'm like, are you kidding me?
It was a delightful 70 degrees right
nice
now.
Nice and sunny and like 70.
Breezy, 70 degrees, sun
he's
coming
up. He's probably got a little pullover.
You're talking, of course, about Brian Broaddus, former Super Bowl champ, our Cowboys insider. He's at training camp in Oxnard, and he joins us right now. Brian, good morning. Loving that weather, aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you what, boys, it's nice here, but the thing about it, they got a heat advisory. It's going to get up to like 77 today.
Oh.
So that could be a little bit of a problem.
Good Lord.
It could be a real problem.
Yeah, but yeah, we were on the, there's a famous watering hole here in Ventura County called the Rudder Room. And so we were on the beach last night. I had on long pants and a hoodie and it was still cold. So that just shows you when that marine layer blows in and stuff like that, it could get a little chilly. But yeah, I try not to talk about the weather when I'm out lot here because it just, I've been coming out here since 2001. And early I was like, oh God, it's beautiful out here. And I just, cause I do, I realize how hard it is at home, you know, with the temperatures they are. And nobody wants to hear how nice it is. And you're right though. I do have a quarter zip on today.
I knew it, guys.
But we ask because we just want to live vicariously through you.
That's right.
So we're compelled to ask.
I appreciate that. I just don't, like I said, when people are driving around listening, I have a good friend of mine, Holly Huggins, who's listening right now. She loves the station. And she would probably tell me, they're like, you know, shut the hell up about the weather, Brian. We understand.
No, it's okay. But, Holly, it's okay. Yeah. We ask him.
That's right, Holly.
Yeah, there we go.
So first day of pads, the defense, still kind of the talk of camp. Here's what they said in the Dallas Morning News today. They suffocated the offense by flashing a combination of speed, physicality, and intelligence.
Whoa, all right.
Is that accurate? Is that what you saw?
I'll tell you what, the defense had a nice day yesterday. There were things that the offense was able to do. They worked on some red zone stuff. That's, you know, for our listeners, that's when you get down into that 20-yard range. And, you know, it's a little bit, the field shrinks. It's a little bit harder to operate. But I felt like, though, the physicality, and that's a word that gets thrown around here a lot. You know, you want speed, you want physicality, you want smarts. Those are all the things. And, you know, when the defense put the pads on, they got after the offense pretty good. I think it's one of those things where there was probably a play or two, the offense got a win, defense comes back. And so it was from that point of evaluation, you don't want one just completely dominating the other. And I think the balance of the practice, it was shown that both sides had moments where you're like, okay, that's what they need. That's how they need to play. And then you look at the other side where maybe the offense is like, okay, they blocked that one up well. Dak got the ball out. I mean, there's a touchdown. Oh, nice blitz pick up there by Williams to get the ball off. So, you know, in a practice, especially these training camp practices, you really do want the balance of both sides.
All right. The big, I guess, defense was terrible last year. We obviously need to see some improvement. Christian Parker, sure. A lot has been made of him. What do you think the biggest difference between last year and this year that you've seen so far with the defense and what Christian has brought to it?
Yeah, it's been six practices. Going on seven practices. I think the thing that I noticed yesterday when they put on the pads was once the ball did get down, once they were moving the ball and it got close to, like I mentioned, the red zone, Christian became really aggressive with the blitz. He was bringing the linebackers. He was not going to let Dak feel comfortable sitting there throwing the football. And his secondary responded in a way of when you play blitz coverage, you're usually playing man-to-man. And Savone Rovell, guys that were making plays on the ball. Moore, the rookie from Florida, made a play. It's just, and they're making plays against, you know, the CeeDee Lambs and the George Pickens. So, it, you know, it's quality versus quality there. But what Christian's done is that he turns it up a notch. When the closer you get to his goal line, the more he's willing to take a chance or two to try and kind of stop you from, you know, maybe hold you to a field goal there. I think the thing that we noticed too that's really different is you don't see the big plays, the missed assignment. You have to see anything where there's been missed assignments. I've seen where they just hadn't been good enough to make the play. But, you know, with Matt Eberflus and that group last year, you saw what we call the bust, where guys are not covered. Guys are running wide open. Guys are, you know, the defense is not doing what they're taught to do. And I don't think you've seen that, at least through the first six practices. I haven't noticed as many of those assignment errors as we've seen in the past.
So which group then would you say we're going to see the most? We're going to notice the most improvement in which group? The secondary, the linebackers, or the big boys up front?
I think that it's probably going to be in the secondary. I think to me that they went out, they made the commitment to go get safeties. Now, to be honest with you, Thompson and Locke, who they both signed, you know, Thompson has had a couple of practices and then he's had practices off. And so he's been a little bit nicked up. And it's been unfortunate for Caleb Downs that he is working with guys right now that are backup safeties, guys that are not going to be guys likely playing, you know, during the season. So that's one of those things, you know, when training camp, you just want everybody, especially with the new scheme, you want everybody kind of on the same page, working together, becoming accustomed to each other. But we just haven't seen that with the early part of this practice. Hopefully Thompson will be back on the field. Locke will be back on the field sooner than later. But if the improvement I'd have to say is the cornerback play and the safety play will probably be something you really, really notice.
That is Brian Broaddus in his long-sleeved quarter zip is covering training camp for us. 105.3 The Fan and our Cowboys insider. Listen, you be careful with that heat advisory. 77,
that's
right, man.
77. That's no joke.
I tell you what, man. It is rough. I think I'm going to keep, even with the heat advisory, I think I'm going to keep the quarter zip on all day. Just to prove a point.
That's right. He's playing with fire there.
Appreciate it, Brian. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Brian brought us with us on KRLD. And when we come back, Spider-Man breaking records again. The new Spider-Man movie. This thing is
unbelievable.
Is crazy. Biggest opening weekend ever for any movie domestically. So we'll get into that when we come back. The Mid-Morning Mic Check continues after this.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
A new survey, how many streaming services does the average American household have now? What do you think?
All right.
And talking TV.
Okay, so I'd say like six, three, somewhere around there.
Actually, four.
Four, all right.
That is the average number of streaming subscriptions. And these are paid, right? This isn't Pluto and Tubi or anything.
I think I have four, now that I think about it. Yeah, I do.
So you got four, and that it comes to an average of $50 a month. Which one has the most penetration? Which one is number one?
Oh, it has to be Netflix.
It is Netflix.
Okay.
That's 75 million subscribers just in the U.S.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime is second. Although I've always said that shouldn't really count because that you get that with your Prime membership. And a lot of people get that just to save on the shipping.
That's right.
Right? So they may not ever watch Amazon Prime video.
They've got a lot of good shows on that thing.
They do. And then you get into Disney, Hulu, Disney Plus, you know, with
now
Hulu.
You got the Disney because of the ESPN connection there. There was some kind of package.
Well, we cut the cable. So yeah. I needed to get ESPN. I needed to, right?
Yeah, exactly. I needed to too.
And so that was the way I did it. I bundled it Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN.
You ever watch the Disney Plus part?
Very little.
See?
See?
I know. It's like they're getting you somewhere.
It's almost like a throw in.
Yeah.
And then Max, HBO is at 35 million. And then you bring it up the rear. This is between 20 and 30 million subscribers. You get Peacock, Paramount, and Apple TV. So we were just kind of wondering if you had to give up one. And a lot of people have hit that point where it's like, you know, the amount I'm spending
go.
And they keep going up in price, one's going to have to go. Which one would it be and why?
Oh,
and not the freebies again either. You know, you get Tubi and Pluto and Roku, but you don't pay for those. So you got to get rid of one of the paid ones.
Maybe the HBO Max, because I only watch like one show on that every now and then.
And it is like over $20 a month.
Yeah, something like that. I had to add it on to the sling.
I might go with Seton. Now, the thing is, if you get rid of Peacock, and if you don't have cable,
Sunday
you're getting
football.
Rid of Sunday Night Football.
How are you going to do that?
If you get rid of Paramount, you're getting rid of, you know, the NFL on CBS.
This just shows you how strong America and their love affair with football is. They will make all the decisions based on football.
So for me, it might be Apple. I don't know,
but
man.
You got a lot of good shows on that.
Apple's got Apple, and
I've really enjoyed it.
It's hard. I wish there was one clear, terrible one that just stood out. They're like, oh, I'd get rid of that one easily. But there's something on all of them.
That's right. Yeah. They always tempt you with something.
It's tough.
This is a good show.
945-766-1080. Let us know. Real life version of Family Feud, meanwhile, playing out right now in Washington, pitting Republican Ohio Congressman Max Miller against his former father-in-law, Republican Ohio Senator Bernie Moreno.
Miller was married to Moreno's daughter, Emily, and they're embroiled in a bitter dispute over their two-year-old daughter.
Emily Moreno has accused Max Miller of holding up a gun to her, of throwing hot water at her, of shoving her up against a wall.
Emily released this photograph, which she claims shows bruises Miller inflicted on her, and she accused him of fracturing their daughter's collarbone. Now her father is blasting his Republican colleague who's running for re-election. Max Miller needs serious psychological help. Bernie Moreno says in a social media post, he is a danger to my daughter. He should not serve in the House of Representatives.
Moreno isn't the first woman to accuse Miller of abuse.
I had seen signs of his temper in the beginning.
That's Melania Trump's former chief of staff, Stephanie Grisham. She dated Max Miller for 2 years, starting in 2019, and wrote about the relationship in her memoir without naming him.
He seemed completely erratic and angry. He called me a psycho. He cheated on me and lied to me.
The person you're talking about, you don't name him in the book, but his name is Max Miller.
I didn't put his name in there on purpose because I've moved on.
Miller has denied that he was ever abusive to Grisham, and he's declaring his ex-wife's allegations to be a a fabrication.
I have never abused our daughter. No criminal charge has ever been filed against me.
Now, Miller is running for re-election this year. It says he's not going to drop out of the race. His district includes most of the southern suburbs of Cleveland. It's a district that Trump carried 55-44% 2 years ago. But in that same election, Miller himself only got 51% of the vote. So this scandal could make a difference. He's running against a union iron worker named Brian Poindexter.
What a tragic last name. Nerd alert.
You do not expect to have an iron worker named Poindexter.
That's right, a good old tough guy.
1 week ago, this guy, Poindexter, he had about a 50-50 chance of winning on Polymarket. Now that's up into the high 60s.
Poindexter for the win.
With all these new revelations. If for some reason you thought that superhero movies were just, passing fancy and that maybe they'd run their course.
I did. I thought, all right, America is going to get sick of this. That's why they're not going to the movie theaters anymore.
Wrong.
I know.
It is official now. This past weekend, the new Spider-Man movie recorded the largest opening weekend for any movie ever.
Tom Holland's Spider-Man Brand New Day swinging to a staggering $355 million in ticket sales.
Sorry about that.
The best performance that Tom Holland has ever given in a Spider-Man movie.
This is a film that really attracts a multi-generational audience. You see grandparents, parents, and children going to see this film and all existing and coexisting in the same audience.
It was amazing!
Spidey super fans packing theaters and taking to social media with their instant reviews.
My mouth was on the floor. The amount of times I cried, laughed, Loki heartbroken.
This might be the greatest Spider-Man film since Spider-Man 2.
Considering the success of Spider-Man Brand New Day, movies are back. Going to the theater is back. People are wholly comfortable with going back to the movie theater and having these shared experiences.
The record-shattering opening also putting Tom Holland in rare air, becoming the first actor to star in the four biggest global openings in box office history.
Wow. Now, yesterday at this time, we were telling you that this new Spider-Man movie had, the second biggest opening weekend of all time, but in fact, upon further review, now they've gotten some new numbers in, and they say it is the biggest at $360 million.
In this country and Canada.
Just in the U.S. and Canada. So that puts it just ahead of Avengers Endgame on that list. Globally, though, that movie is still number one, biggest opening weekend ever. But man, you know,
I don't know.
Theater owners have got to be thrilled.
Oh, they got to. And I don't understand. Like you said, oh, this is the best Spider-Man movie since Spider-Man 2. I don't remember any of these Spider-Mans. They all flow together. They don't. There's no separation between any of them.
They all have similar plots. They all run together.
You might think of the bad guy in some of them. Dr. Octopus was one of them, I remember. And the Sandman, I guess, is. I don't. But it's just. It's
and not just Spider-Man. How many Batman movies have there been?
Well,
Superman
the Batman's,
movies.
To me, at least, those feel a little bit bigger than the Spider-Man. Tom Holland, I guess he's a hot young thing now.
No, they're all still hot, all of these movies. All right, it's 10:44 now. We take a break. When we come back, the biggest of the wildfires up in the Pacific Northwest, they think that that was set, and they think they caught the guy that set it.
This guy, oh my God, if this is the guy, they did it.
Yeah, well, that's coming up. Stay with us.
Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
10:52 now as we continue. A man is now facing arson charges in connection to one of the biggest wildfires still burning in Washington State. Spokane County Sheriff John Knowles, he's crediting an attentive citizen for spotting the suspect.
He noticed the male was bending down near some grass. At that point, the male stood up and looked very nervous.
Yeah. So he's now facing arson charges. This guy's got a history.
He did 10 years for manslaughter in Arizona. He killed his dad and then gets out. And now he's starting fires in Spokane. He's being held on $1 million. His name is Aaron Farinacci.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea. And he was booked on suspicion of first degree arson and the Old Trails fire. This is just ridiculous. Farinacci.
The fire itself, meanwhile.
For now, calmer winds and cooler temperatures are helping crews to battle the Spokane fires, but containment is still at 0%, and hundreds of homes are already lost. Many properties continue to smolder as firefighters press on, battling flames still on the move, with three active incidents in the Spokane area. The evacuation of over 65,000 residents is a considerable displacement in a city of about 250,000.
News Nation's Nancy Liu with that report. Send that guy away. If he did credit.
Oh, my God.
Don't let him out.
He's already manslaughter charged. Mm-hmm. He's already done 10 years for killing his dad.
I know.
And now he's starting fires. So this guy just doesn't need to be out.
If you had to give up one streamer, one subscription streamer on TV, which one would it be? It's our question this morning. A lot of people saying Netflix.
That's crazy. I mean, Netflix is always going to have stuff that is new and probably the latest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To watch, I don't know. I couldn't see getting rid of Netflix, and they're only going to be expanding.
Yep.
More sporting events and things like that.
Iron Balls writes in, he said, Netflix is the definition of penetration.
Netflix and chill.
Okay.
Got to put that part in there.
All right, I know. I should have figured.
Yeah.
All right, we take a break. Mike Rogers and Austin York with you. Mid-morning mic check continues on KRLD right after this.